The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. John Wilner on this busy day on the U of A leaving the Pac-12, question mark. Leaving the Pac-12, the University of Arizona, question mark. This has now become the front and center story. This isn't me filling a segment, just trying to get to the next commercial like a lot of media groups do. No, that's not what we're doing here. This is something where there's smoke, and John knows better than most. John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. He is one of our partners, and we look forward to having John on with us. We'll also chop up what is going on across the fruited plain in Pac-12 since Colorado bolted last week. That comes up with John Wilner. That comes up at 10:20 in about 15 minutes. Claudia Collins is going to jump on the show today. Claudia has been working behind the scenes on a documentary that is going to debut tonight on the site at 6 p.m. Family, Faith, and Football. So it's as simple as this. Through the years, me being in media, and this was my pitch to her, through the years in media, when I hear that someone goes on their mission, we usually see a picture of them on a bicycle and a bike helmet and smiling with kids, and that's it. And so I've always felt that let's go a little bit deeper. That's what we're about here. Let's not just do the low-hanging fruit and talk about backup linebackers at the Cardinals. Who cares? You know, let's do some things that are deep and meaningful. And so Claudia put 2.5 years in on this project, and her teammates helped her out. I gave some thoughts on it, but it's really her. And Claudia's going to be a mom later this year. It's pretty cool. So we're going to chop it up with Claudia on how she's going through motherhood and putting this doc together and all that with Claudia Collins. That comes up at about 10:35. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business, as always. And through the years, Desert Financial Credit Union, we appreciate their support. I'm actually wearing a pink golf shirt. The Desert Financial guys were up at the Positive Coaching Alliance event that I played in on Thursday up in Payson, and they were all wearing pink. They stood out. And but I won the closest to the pin, so I don't know if they stood out as much as me. I got very lucky. 190 yards with a hybrid, and people are making fun of me. And you know what? I don't care. I don't care. I won. So take that. Take that. Put in your pipe and smoke it. Yeah, the Pac-12 is where I want to start. So it's down to 9. And it's funny how just a couple of years ago, like I've been doing revisionist history and all this, if the Pac-12 had just not been so stinking arrogant, I'm going to talk to John about the arrogance that just has gone through this conference forever. If they hadn't been so arrogant back in the day, they would have had Oklahoma and Texas years ago when they were begging. Even a couple of years ago, they could have had TCU and Houston. And they wouldn't be sitting here in this mess that they're in today. The University of Arizona, from every person that I talk to whose opinions I respect, and that's not on Twitter, it's not on social media. You know, social media is the world's largest sports bar. Everybody's got an opinion, even if it's the wrong one. So it's not there. It is people who I trust and that I look at and say they would know, they would have some insight. They are not in the space of just, let me put it on Twitter and see how many people can react to what I'm going to put out. They're not doing that nonsense. So what I feel as though today is this is a big week for the University of Arizona to decide what it is they want to do. I may be old school on this. I still can't believe that the Board of Regents would say, yep, Arizona, you can take off, and ASU, you have to stay behind. Of the two schools, there's not any debate that U of A is a national brand when it comes to their basketball program. You put them in the Big 12 conference, and if they add Connecticut, doesn't matter, like, oh, well, look at that conference. They have to go all the way to Morgantown. Ha, ha, ha. We'd never do that. Well, let me fill you in on something. It takes forever and a day to get to Pullman, okay? So I'm not in the space of people shooting spitballs. And just a fact, U of A basketball is one of the best brands in the nation. That's a fact. And so you put them in that same conference with Kansas, and you bring Connecticut in. Now you've got football, and you've got basketball, and that's how it's going. I don't blame President Robbins. I don't know President Robbins, but in my seeing him from a distance and reading him from people, again, who I respect, There's a lot there in terms of love of sport and athletics. That's not the case at Arizona State University, from my view and my opinion. It's kind of like, yeah, we have sports here, but that's it. And that comes from former coaches, former administrators. It's just how it is, and not a bunch of bitter people that have left. It's just how it is. And so would this be a death blow to Arizona State if U of A left? Not necessarily. You know, they're still going to have athletics. Now they're going to shut the whole thing down. What would be interesting is if U of A does leave, do things like the Territorial Cup go away? Oh my gosh, how could that happen? Well, it's a lightly viewed game opposite of Alabama and Auburn, if we're really being truthful about it, or Michigan, Ohio State, because nobody wants to be progressive on this. They just want to do what they've always done. And that's why they're in the mess they're in. And that's a fact. So we see Texas and Texas A&M. They don't play one another anymore. We see Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. They're not going to play each other. So in this new world that we're about to go into, if, it's a big if, but I do believe that the University of Arizona is looking at their options and deciding, you know what, if this group can't get their act together, let's bolt. The other way it could go is SMU gets added, and they just go to 10, and that's where they sit for now. Or they go look at other conferences that have members that want to get out, like in the Mountain West. I still believe the best way to go on all of this, like going to the Big 12 should be the option. I wrote this back in 2017. Go look on the site. 2017, they got to get out of here. Television deal's bad. Conference was poor in terms of views. The arrogance just dripping throughout this conference from administrators and chancellors was just like, oh my gosh, you guys just don't care. You don't get it. I'm in the business of sports. You can have a balance, but you guys want to tell us how great, awesome, and amazing you are. Your network stinks. Whoever put this stuff in charge failed business 101. It's just not that hard. It just isn't. And I'm not even being hard enough here today on it. It's just amazing that you could implode because you had somebody running a conference in 2012, and Eric Sorensen and I went up there to walk the Pac-12 network. I walked out and said, I don't see it. I just don't see it. A lot of glitz, a lot of glam. 11 years later, poof. So talk with John about that. We're in the time of year with, you know, actually the Arch Manning trading card story is far more interesting to me than NFL training camps. Because we're already having players that are valued and you're getting paid lots of money, getting hurt for what exactly? It's August, July. For what exactly? Just so you can try to take back the media landscape? It's silly. Arch Manning signed a card for $103,000. How many of you are into sports memorabilia as like an investment world? I know a few people that are. Ken Kendrick, the Diamondbacks owner, is really into it. And Ken showed me some of his stuff. He put some of his stuff on display at the art museum. Arch Manning signed a one-of-one card for $103,000. Somebody somewhere is going to pay, hoping that Arch Manning becomes like Peyton and like Eli and like his grandfather. And one day that card will be worth $2 million, $5 million, $8 million, whatever. People that are in the sports memorabilia market and trying to do it as a business, it's interesting to talk to them. Some of them are very buttoned up. Some of them are out of the backseat of a car. They just want to get a signed autograph pair of such and suches. That's why you see grown men acting like kids trying to get this autograph or that autograph, because they just want it to try to sit on it because it's their investment. Happens. But Arch Manning did that over the weekend. That was pretty interesting. I did like the Aaron Rodgers ripping Sean Payton storyline. I don't know what Sean Payton was thinking. Sean Payton has been sitting behind the desk at Fox. Sean Payton's made more money than he'll know what to do with. I remember Sean Payton as a running backs coach at San Diego State back in the day when I was doing games there. Sean's been around. And the O coordinator of the Jets, Nathaniel Hackett, was at Denver, didn't do a good job. They gets fired. That happens. You don't need to say anything about it. And Sean Payton says Hackett did one of the worst coaching jobs in the history of the NFL. To USA Today, it wasn't like an offhand comment. So now you have Aaron Rodgers involved. And of course, this plays really well in convenient timing into Hard Knocks, because Hard Knocks is back again for yet another disastrous turn. So that's out there. Kyler Murray meeting with the media here, saying all the right things, you know, the usual, nobody respects me, nobody likes me, and all that nonsense. Like, pretty easy here. You get on the field, you show up, you shut up, and you play. And you succeed. You're coming off an ACL. Takes time. I've had three of them. Wife's had 20. Seen lots of people with knees. Had double knee replacement. I get it. It's a mental journey. It's a mental grind. When people get into the I'm not being respected, I'm being slept on stuff, it's just, it's exhausting. Just do your thing. It's pretty simple. If you win, they forget. If you don't, they don't care. And I still believe the best plan of attack for the Cardinals this year, like the Cardinals season on the surface, not interesting at all. Not. They have a coach. They bottomed out. Coach Hire was ripped. The roster's been turned over. People didn't want to be here. People that left ripped the organization, star quarterbacks up, all that stuff. And now it's like, well, it's a different attitude. Well, the coach is actually going to cuss. Well, it's like, I know you guys have to fill time here, but let's just call it as it is. If this team is anywhere near the number one and number two overall picks, and they've totally hit their mark for the year. Yes, this is tank time, man. This is not, we're so happy we won five games or eight games. Well, that's the most ignorant thing to say. That's just not the worst thing. No, it's not. It's business. You're going to push reset. From the owner on down, you have to push reset, because the owner's been in the NFL's crosshairs. General manager's gone. New GM's come in. I like what he's done. I think they're going to get some things turned around. But if they win a whole bunch of games this year and finish in the middle of the pack and they draft 13th and 18th, then they probably missed. It's not that hard. Do I think Kyler's going to be here a year from now? If I'm a betting man and I have a dollar, I'm putting 98 cents on. No. No. So, you know, they can go through all the PR stuff they want here in July and August, but it's just filling space, just filling air. I am far more interested tonight to be up at midnight to watch the USA Women's World Cup at midnight. They are playing Portugal. If they win or draw, they advance. We are that household that will be up at midnight tonight. I don't know. There's some places doing sports bar viewing. I might do that. Take a Lyft or an Uber at 1 o'clock in the morning for second half. I don't know. We kick that around. Wilner, John Wilner. Yes, on the other side. Is U of A serious about leaving the Pac-12? What is the latest from what John Wilner is hearing, one of the leading voices, Wilner Hotline? That is coming up. That is next. I could get into the baseball trade deadline with the Diamondbacks, but I don't want to lose my mind. I came closer a couple times here in the opening. Close only counts, guys, in horseshoes and hand grenades. If you're not going to hang on, if you're just wanting to continue to hang on to pieces, to say, see, we had it right. That's where you just all of a sudden take a step back. You got to do something while you're right there. You're just a game out of the wild card. It's just not that hard. All right, John Wilner and then Claudia Collins. Stay with us. And now the man, the myth, the legend who has no answers today. Well, I hope he has at least a few. Here's John Wilner. So John and I chopped it up this last week, and if you follow his content on Wilner Hotline, you know full well that things can just change and pivot on a moment's notice. So as we're sitting here talking right now on this Monday morning, are you expecting, Mr. Wilner, this to be a seismic week from your sources, or no, Colorado left and let's just talk football?
No, well, I mean, training camp is starting up, right? But the spotlight is on the media rights negotiations, expansion decision, future of the conference. So I don't know that it's all going to get resolved this week, but certainly it should make – there should be serious progress on both those issues this week. And I would imagine that we'll have an answer on all this in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Certainly they're going to have a media rights contract before the football season starts, or the conference is going to basically fracture, in my opinion. I think the commissioner is under intense pressure to present a deal to his presidents very soon. Arizona certainly is the next school on the Big 12's target list. And The patience, I would think Arizona President Robert Robbins' patience is probably wearing thin here. He needs to see a deal to approve. And if he doesn't, who knows what he could do? Same thing that Colorado did.
Okay, so I've been saying all along, am I wrong in this? There's not a chance that U of A leaves ASU behind with the Board of Regents, or do the Board of Regents just have absolutely no say? And this is President Robbins saying, we're leaving. Where's the Board of Regents at from your view in this?
Well, I mean, the Board of Regents, ultimately, if it's anything like California's, they have the final say, right? And so I would imagine that they will be heavily involved. Could they be persuaded to let Arizona and ASU split up? Probably, because there's a precedent. The California Board of Regents allowed Cal and UCLA to split up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly what's going on. I'm sure they're heavily involved. I would like to think, or I would imagine, that ASU President Michael Crow and Robbins want to stay on the same page, at least publicly. Now, whether that same page means splitting up or that same page means staying together, they'll probably want to present a united front that everybody's in agreement that this is what should happen and there's no friction at that level.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Robbins said in June that they don't have to stay together, but that he and Crow work closely together. What that means exactly, I don't know. It also depends on whether the Big 12 would want Arizona State and Utah to make a 16-team conference, or whether the Big 12 just it's Arizona or nothing, so to speak.
Do Crow and Robbins, from your view, because you've worked in Tucson, you've covered this conference for many, many years, do they have the same passion towards athletics? Are they wired the same way? Because I don't believe they are, but you may look at it differently. And it may not matter, but does it matter?
You know, that's a good question. Certainly, Robbins seems to be a real sports fan. Well, the conversations I've had with him, you can tell you're talking to somebody who follows sports closely, right? His background is in the SEC. He understands the value of college football. I think he's pretty passionate about sports. Obviously, he understands what basketball means to Arizona and the Tucson community. Crow, I've never gotten the sense that Crow is a passionate sports fan at all. Crow seems to think he knows about college sports, and yet his track record for decision making has been pretty poor as it comes to, especially as it relates to the Pac-12. He has played a major role in the Pac-12 getting to this dire situation because of his support for Larry Scott and Scott's strategic plans for media rights and the Pac-12 networks, et cetera. So I think they're very different, but I don't know that that means they're going to end up at different places.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they're going to, you know, if Arizona's going to stay and they're going to stay together or move together, I don't know. But clearly differences in passion level.
Let's go down the path. John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. Follow him on Wilner Hotline on all of his social channels. Of course, his content is on sports360az.com. So Oklahoma and Oklahoma State are not going to play one another once they split. You talked about UCLA and Cal splitting from one another. So there's a couple of examples, and there's people out here that I can't imagine a world where ASU and U of A don't play one another. Well, I can, and I'd like to see the Territorial Cup played week one, not Thanksgiving weekend, opposite of Alabama Auburn, and nobody sees it on a third channel. But that's just me. Is this something that, from a fan's point of view, John, when you talk to fans, seismic if ASU and U of A do split, wouldn't play one another, potentially, wouldn't play one another. Would that be something that moves the needle and we can't have that happen?
That could be something the board takes into account. I mean, Texas and Texas A&M stopped playing each other. So that kind of is a standard with regard to rivalries. But I also look at it, you know, for Arizona, it's about basketball first.
Yep.
And there's no, you don't have nearly the same passion for the football rivalry in Tucson, I think, that you do for basketball success, generally speaking. So to me, Arizona and the Tucson community are looking at this through the lens of basketball, where the Big 12 is arguably the best league in the land. And so the football rivalry may not carry, maintaining the football rivalry may not carry the same weight in Tucson that it would in other places, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas, Texas A&M, just because of the intense focus on basketball and a rivalry not playing the same role in basketball that it does in football. I mean, to me, you know, Arizona fans would probably, they're probably more distraught about not having the rivalry with UCLA because the Bruins are going into the Big 12, Big 10, as they are losing any kind of football rivalry with ASU.
All right, let's go through this one then. I don't see a downside from a travel standpoint if U of A goes to the Big, if ASU goes to the Big 12. I've said, written, talked about it for years that from a travel, just pure travel economics, and people throw Morgantown, West Virginia into the conversation, now potentially UConn. But I still think from a travel standpoint, if you go to the Big 12, it's a much better move in terms of travel, in terms of exposure. You have the Fox package. You could play in the middle of the day. You're back on campus that night. I don't see a downside if they were to leave the Pac-12, John. I really don't. Do you?
Well, certainly not in that regard. You know, geographically, like Colorado, you know, Arizona is a fit for the Big 12. There's no doubt about that. The thing I wonder about, and I don't know what role it might play in Robin's thinking, is that Arizona has a massive alumni base in California. Right? I mean, tens of thousands of Arizona alums live in California. If you go to the Big 12, you're kind of cutting yourself off from those folks being able to see you play. Arizona also draws a massive amount of its student out-of-state students from California. If you go to the Big 12, are you, you know, making, losing exposure to potential out-of-state student enrollment? Those kind of things the presidents have to take into account. I don't know if they would be determining factors, but certainly, I mean, every time you go to an Arizona basketball game in California, there's, you know, there's thousands and thousands of alums. Those folks will never be able to see Arizona play if if they go to the Big 12. So I would think that's something that Robbins would take into account.
All right, before I get you out of here then, what is the upside of them staying within the Pac-12? What is the real upside? Outside of fandom, okay, because it certainly appears, John, as you and I are sitting here talking at the end of July, that they can't get a media deal that is close to what the Big 12 is able to give them automatically. And I'm not even talking about dollars and cents. I'm just talking about pure exposure.
Well, I don't that remains to be seen, right? Both from a dollars perspective and from exposure perspective. We don't know exactly what the Pac-12 is going to present. Certainly there's going to be a streaming component, but when you look at what media consumption is going to be in 5 years, streaming is going to be a big part of it, right? I mean, there's a huge shift to streaming. Apple and Amazon could end up owning ESPN or one of those two companies. ESPN's looking for an equity partner. ESPN is going to be streaming in 2 or 3 years. So the conference needs to put together a media deal that satisfies the schools now, but also takes into account this massive shift in how fans consume sports. And you could make an argument that in 5 years, Amazon and Apple would be the place to be in that regard, right? If you want to secure your future in the media space, aligning with Amazon and Apple is the place to be. Now, I don't know exactly what role they will play in the deal, but that's another piece that the presidents have to take into account. But, you know, and academically, there's also the academic alignment with Pac-12 schools versus Big 12 schools. There's the alumni piece to consider. So there's factors on both sides. But certainly if you're an Arizona fan, there's plenty of reason to want to be in the Big 12 because you think you live and breathe basketball, and the Big 12's got a great basketball product.
Okay, fact, fiction, the fiction or fact, the arrogance of Pac-12 chancellors has gotten them into this position, and they're not going to be able to get their way out of a paper bag because they just simply don't get athletics versus academics. Fact, fiction.
Well, mostly fact. I'm not sure that they won't be able to get themselves out of this, but certainly a big part of their problem, the current situation, is the arrogance, right? I mean, the Pac-12 had a chance in the summer of 2021. Every Big 12 school was calling the Pac-12 saying, please give us an invitation. Please give us an invitation. Our conference is imploding. after Oklahoma and Texas left for the SEC, Pac-12 decided, you know what? They don't fit institutionally, geographically, financially. We're going to pass. Pac-12 could have easily said, we'll take TCU in Houston. They'd have a presence in Texas, in Dallas and Houston right now, and things would look a lot more stable. So, I mean, and arrogance with regard to Larry Scott and his policies, absolutely, that's been a big problem for a long time.
Fact, fiction, U of A this week will be leaving the Pac-12. There's a lot on Twitter. It's not true, as I've said to you. Twitter is the world's largest sports bar. Everybody's got an opinion. But from your view, from what you hear, is this the week that U of A could, John, not will, could bolt?
I could. Anything is possible. I would bet against a decision coming this week. Sure. I think we are looking at, you know, 2 or 3 weeks from now as kind of the deadline, right? That the conference has got to have a deal in place by the start of the football season. I think this will all be resolved by, say, the middle of August. And that could mean Arizona's gone by then. But it also could mean that the Pac-12 has a deal in place and is moving forward together. I don't think we're going to have a final decision on anything this week. I expect there'll be a lot of movement behind the scenes with the presidents and the contract negotiations, but I don't expect a final decision this week.
Folding in the ACC or the Pac-12, folding in the Mountain West, folding in another conference, do you see that as viable in all this in the next few weeks?
I don't see how the Pac-12 and the ACC could formulate anything beyond a scheduling alliance. It just doesn't work. It's too complicated. The Mountain West, I don't know if folding in is the right way to phrase it, but the Pac-12 could end up adding 2 or 3 Mountain West schools by the time this whole process ends. I mean, San Diego State, I think, there's a good chance San Diego State's going to end up in the Pac-12. Maybe Colorado State to replace Colorado. I still think SMU is high on the list of expansion candidates, but there aren't a ton of great candidates out there. Boise State, Fresno State, probably at the top of the next tier. None of them are great, and that's part of the Pac-12's problem, is that because there's so few schools that play major college football west of the Rockies, there aren't a ton of great expansion candidates.
All right. Anything else you want to add on this? Some of this is repetitive. Some of it, I think, is new. The arrogance part has become like a high up on my food chain just to talk about, because we haven't done it. And U of A, there's a lot of blowing around down here that this is the week for them. Anything else you want to add on this?
No, I don't think so. Only that the commissioner is under intense pressure to present some kind of deal to the president this week or maybe next week. It's got to happen. His lack of urgency on this matter has put the conference in this position. His strategy was based on presidential patience, on university presidents being willing to wait this thing out for now 13 months and maybe longer for a deal. And that's just not realistic in higher education, right? I've been writing since January, when they came out of the holidays without a deal, that time and risk move together in realignment. The longer you wait to get a deal done, the more risk you have that factors or forces will blow things apart. And that's exactly what happened with Colorado. That was the gamble the commissioner took. And, you know, he's paying the price right now. And the ultimate price could be the fracturing of a conference. And, you know, that's going to be on that blood will be on his hands.
John Wilner, as always, find his content, Wilner Hotline, and on sports360az.com. John, thanks.
Thanks very much.
And we're back with more after this timeout. Claudia Collins, nice enough to drop on in for a few minutes. Claudia has a documentary, Family, Faith, and Football, that is dropping tonight at 6 o'clock. I want to have Claudia on. Yeah, cheer, cheer, cheer. Before I get into Family, Faith, and Football, you are going to be a mother later this year. How's that going?
If you would have asked me 2 months ago or a month ago, even, I would have had a different answer, but things are great. What people say about the second trimester seems to be mostly true for me. The first 3 weeks of the second trimester, still not so fun, but I'm 21 weeks now, almost, actually, this is week 22 for me. So I'm past the halfway point. I feel good. I'm excited, kind of nervous.
Yeah.
All the feelings, there's a mix of emotions.
You have a kicker going on? You have a kicker inside of you?
Oh, yeah. Big time. Yes, definitely started feeling her very early on, like earlier than you're typically supposed to. So, yeah, future Team USA soccer player, I would say.
I like that. I like that very much. All right, let's get into this. Family, faith, and football. How did this project come to be?
Actually, I feel like you're almost the better one to answer that part. But truly, this was a day one at Sports 360 AZ. It came about because Brad, you and I met at Joe's Farm Grill for like my like introductory like lunch. Welcome to Arizona. It was like 3 weeks before I even technically started working for Sports 360 AZ. It was more like, let's get lunch. Then you get settled in moving back to Arizona and then you'll start working. And you brought up, you know, Dane, oh, I know this football player at Castile, he's going to go on a mission and then he's going to play college football. And all of this is new to me because I wasn't really exposed to the LDS community, but it definitely sparked an interest right away. Let's not lie. I was also not in a position to say no on day one. So I was like, let's go. I'll take it on. Hadn't done a documentary before. That's obviously changed since then, because I executive produced the Zach Hoffpower documentary that we did alongside Spurge and Devin. So I've had documentary experience now, but it really came about day one, probably over a delicious chicken sandwich.
At Joe's Farm Grill, they do have lots of those. No, I mean, what I've always seen in the industry, and this was not me telling you, you know, you have to do this. It was just what I've seen in the industry through the years is a player will go on their mission and they'll come back and they'll play in a college game and they'll put up a picture of them on a bike with a bike helmet and their white shirt, black tie, and that's it. That's it. And I've looked at that and said, well, there has to be a story, has to be a backstory of to what they had to go through and the maturation process. I've been doing games for 40 years or doing media stuff. And when a player comes back off of a mission, like in basketball, you know, we joke on the air, they need a razor deal because they've got full beard. You know, it's one of those things where the maturation. And so let's dive into this a little bit rather than just accept that, well, this is what media has always done. Here's a picture and that's it. And, you know, it wasn't a pitch so much as like, I think there's something there. And then it became a pitch. I think it became you and I just going back and forth on it. I think going to BYU, you and I went to BYU for an Arizona State football game. And I think by then you were all in. I almost died on that trip. Claudia took me hiking. That's where On the Rocks was like, oh God, I'm never doing this again. But I, in all seriousness, I think you had to buy in on, yeah, there's a story there, or let's just let it lie and not go down that path, right?
Oh yeah, it was definitely, and I would say it was bought in right away because I was one of those people that like really didn't have background on how this could possibly work. How can a high school football player take 2 years off of the sport and like still be successful? And then there's also obviously the stories, which you'll see a little sprinkle of that as well, of the guys who went on missions, played college football, and then played in the NFL. So it really is like an amazing trajectory. So I definitely bought in right away because I wanted to know more. So I figured, okay, I can't be the only person who wants to know more about how this works. I mean, I think the biggest challenge was this was 2.5 years and it was, you know, FaceTime or Facebook, like Zoom calls and communicating in South Africa, which meant that Dane and I were having conversations at noon my time, but it was really like, I don't even remember now, morning or night. I mean, it was, you know, crazy time difference. We were on different days, but it was really cool to see. I mean, I got to see and interview Dane and be a part of his journey before he left. I'm one of the only people, I believe, that he got to communicate with on his two-year mission. More background that you'll learn in the documentary is that they really can only communicate with family or like the outside world on Mondays, on their preparation days. So those were the days that we Zoomed when we got a chance to do that. And then when he returned, so it really was, for me, like I felt like I was in it along the way.
All right. The documentary debuts tonight on the website, sports360az.com, as you're watching this, of course, at 6 p.m. It'll be up on the homepage, and then it will move over to Bally Sports this week as well, and other media partners to be announced. Let's go through the characters on this, the subject matter, I guess, better than characters. The subject matter is about Dane Christensen. Who is Dane Christensen?
Former Castile quarterback, one of the best that Castile has seen. And I mean, the thing that makes his story interesting is he was pretty severely under-recruited for how successful he was during his time at Castile. Mind you, COVID times makes it a little tougher. I'm sure that had an impact on his recruitment, but for him, it came down to a decision of, okay, am I going to play college football right away, or am I going to go on a mission? This story explores a lot of what that decision-making process is like, not just for him, but for a lot of LDS athletes, because they all approach it a little bit differently. They probably have a variety of different options. The options that Dane had aren't the same options that some of the other faces you'll see in the documentary had. And it really, you know, Dane is someone who got to go on a mission, and he was sent to Cape Town, South Africa, or to all different parts of South Africa to serve. And he is planning to play for BYU next year.
The characters or the subject matters, that there's many of them. I don't need you to go through each and every one of them, but I do want to ask you, Ty Detmer is in this. Any fan of football knows Ty Detmer as BYU quarterback, Heisman guy. He is here in the Valley. He has been working with Dane. What did Ty Detmer bring to the doc?
Just a different perspective. And, you know, this is the downside to having 20 minutes to tell a story that follows a 2.5 year path. And for Ty, obviously, like more than 2.5 years, because yeah, he's a little bit older than Dane, but he wasn't part of the LDS church when he started playing at BYU. So his perspective is just unique because he wasn't really exposed to the mission process until he became a college football player at BYU. So he can speak a little bit on like the outside looking in and what that meant as a player, then what it meant as a coach, because he later coached at BYU, and then what it means now for someone who is a part of the faith and has essentially like sent several guys like Dane on various missions. So he's Dane's quarterback coach to this day. So that's someone that Dane got to work with a little bit this summer when he got back from South Africa and get him prepped for his future football career.
The title is Family, Faith, and Football. And is it in that order in terms of importance in this documentary? How did you balance the faith side versus the family side versus the football side? Did you find that to be a challenge?
No, because they're all kind of embedded within each other anyways. I mean, I think if you take family, football and faith are so important to his family. So that kind of was easy there. Faith, I mean, he spent 2 years in Africa following this feeling that he had, or this mission to serve. So you'll see that within there. And then football is the story all along the way. Dane has been playing football since he was like 5 years old, and plans to continue to play, and what that looked like while he was worrying about serving and being away on the other side of the world. Like, this gives you a little inside look of how challenging it actually can be for certain missionaries, not everyone, which once again, I'm alluding to the doc, but not everyone has the same experience on their mission. But there is a really limited time period of like when they can actually practice or weightlift or train or whatever that might look like. So that it all just really goes together.
Yeah, what's cool about this doc, and I don't want to give it all away, is Claudia found other voices of players that have been on missions, and they've already gone through their college or are still in their college experience. She found a current Pac-12 football coach who is in the space of going after and recruiting players, which has become more commonplace. It just used to be BYU and that was it. So I think you found a lot of different voices. What is someone going to take away from this documentary if they choose to watch it, check it out tonight or on the site or on TV?
Just an understanding. Once again, going back to like when I first initially heard the idea from you, my first thought was, how is it possible that, I mean, especially take a position like quarterback. I mean, how could you go 2 years without really getting a chance to throw to anyone other than most of the time, a couple little kids that you're teaching to play football in a country where they play rugby. So it's kind of shocking. It has like a little bit of a shock value. How can this work? How can 2 years away and the occasional toss of a football result in a potential starting quarterback for Division I college and then maybe one day in the NFL? So I think it's just going to bring some understanding to a topic. I mean, maybe people watching this know nothing about the LDS faith. I knew next to nothing going into it. I know a whole lot now. So I think it's just an interesting topic. If you like football in general, if you like sports in general, and if you're curious how this can work, give it a watch.
There's going to be moments, and I do say this, I think for the vast audience, my emotions were moved a few times. And there is emotion within this because of the family part of it. And then there's just moments where like, wow, that's a great shot. Or, whoa, that's so cool. Or, wow, how did she get this? Or, man, that looks really great. So good stuff. It airs tonight. Well done. And thanks for chopping it up.
Thanks for having me.
And we're back with more. Again, it's tonight, Family, Faith, and Football. You can find it on the website at sports360az.com on our channels as well. And we're back after this timeout.